podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Are you rolling? Is it on?
It's on.
Oh, yes, it is on.
We're good. Uh-huh.
That's what I love about podcasting. Like, it can be just so loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm finally in Roxanne's studio.
This is the Magic Pivot Studio.
They call it the Pivot, but everybody walks by, it's like, man, what's going on in there? This is like where all the Roxanne miracles come out of here,
it's
right?
It's very distracting because people walk by. You have to wave at everybody like I am right now, so it kind of looks like you're in a fishbowl.
Pretty
but
cool.
We're in here today, Mark, and we're going to do something really fun because we're going to start our own little podcast. And I say little. This is going to be a big podcast, but it's about parenting. And the reason I want to do this, I have to tell you this. I wanted to do it with you because you have... I ran the numbers on this. You have a basketball team. You have half a lacrosse team. You have more than a polo team. You have half a soccer team.
Roxanne,
you have five children.
Sports. Gosh, this is great. I love the sports analogies. It makes me feel even better. Hey, listen.
So you've got a bunch of these little rugrats, and I only have one, and it's hard.
I have five kids. Yeah, it's tough. It's fun. It's all the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's tough. It's crazy. It's insane. It's deadly. It's... amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the words. It just depends on where you are when somebody asks you about it. I will say though, you deserve like a lot of credit because, this is really cool because you've been, first of all, I really like you. Like, you're really cool. Like you're a bright, upbeat person and you always have like these really cool ideas. But this was like 99.9% your idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Thank you.
I was walking around one day and you were like, hey, I got this idea and it's about this. And I was like, wow. That's pretty brave of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a mom, you're on this highly rated radio show, and there you are looking at some more stuff. So when you came to me, you're like, hey, will you jump on this podcast?
I slid you a note in the lunchroom,
right,
and I said,
right,
hey,
right,
would you like to do a podcast?
Check yes or no, and you know, but no. So hey, kudos to you, man, because I think it's a great thing because so many people, and whether you're a man or a woman, like I said, you have a very busy career, and you know, you have to deal with being a mom. And so it's kind of like, I was like, wow, what a brave thing. Like, you're looking around for more challenges and stuff. So it was really nice that you came and asked me to be on this and everything. So thank you. And it's very cool.
Appreciate that. It's a little bit selfish. So I go around to our bosses and I say, I want to do this. You know, I want to do a mom podcast, a parenting podcast, because I have one child now and that makes me an expert.
Your mom.
But
yeah.
Actually, it's the total opposite because I have one child and I really do feel like, I mean, sometimes I feel proud and then I'm doing a good job and she's growing and she's healthy. And other times I'm like, oh my gosh, how do people do this? Is everyone just walking around? Are other parents walking around like you? So I use you an example with your five children,
mm-hmm.
ready to just collapse at any moment. So I have one, and our uniqueness is we waited a little bit longer in life. You know, I don't need to mention the age, but we waited longer. But I look at, so maybe we're lacking in energy.
Roxanne
some younger
is 75
families.
Years old, and she looks amazing. They waited a little bit, but I can say it's an unbelievable story. We'll get to that later on, I guess.
The science that it takes to make the baby, it's pretty amazing. But I look at other families, and I said, are we all just going through life just putting on happy faces and faking our way through? Because I feel like I sometimes am going crazy with one child,
mm-hmm.
and I look at other families, I say, you must be going crazy with your kids in all your different sports, which is going to happen to you soon.
Well, it's happening now. Yeah, we got a couple in sports now. But, you know, fake it till you make it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I think we were talking the other day about when it comes to being parents, I think the worst thing you can do, there's two really bad things you can do. Number one is take other people's advice
because
mm-hmm. you're not parenting their kids. And number two is make too many plans.
Oh, forget it.
Because everyone's got that thing, right? Like, I'm going to have a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's two, he's going to learn to, you know, root for the football team I root for. And when he's five, he's going to play flag football. And when he's seven, he's going to do this and that. And it's like, no. See, the kids, listen, this is just honest, okay? Kids are plan killers. They kill your plans. But you know what? They should kill
mm-hmm.
your plans. It's their life, right? It's
mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time. Look, it took me a long time to realize that. Like, my wife and I, we weren't married when we had our first. And
mm-hmm.
so we have five now, right? And you're not married, are you?
No,
married?
I'm not married.
Okay.
No, we can talk about that at some point because people
right.
are always intrigued by that.
People are
They feel awkward about it, you know?
Yeah.
Who do I make the invitation to?
I know.
People
are, it's amazing. But I think it's becoming less and less common.
Right.
As more people like you and I are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But kids are plan killers, right? And so you have to kind of absorb that it is their life
mm-hmm.
and it really is about them. That was tough for me at first because, like I said, we weren't married. So I think it was like,
You were making a lot of adjustments.
I was trying to at first. Yeah. We didn't even live together when our first Tyler was born. He's 11 now. So we didn't live together. Now, we did live with, like, within a couple of miles. It's not like we lived across the country.
You were easing into the relationship at that point.
Yeah.
And now
it's funny.
Four kids later, you're committed.
It's true. I was. It was tough. I was 29 or 30. Mm-hmm. But no, I was 29. Whatever makes me sound younger is what I was. I was 29, sure. And it was tough. And then we wound up getting married right before our second. But we did like the quick wedding thing.
Sure.
Not the thing. So yeah.
Yeah, eventually we'll do that. Well, yeah. I've been married before. Doug's been married before too.
Wow, another twist. Right? And they keep on coming. Yeah.
So it's like something we'll get to, but you know.
You gonna have more kids?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you want more?
We'll have to debate that on this. I'll figure it out. I'll get some advice from you and we'll figure it out.
All right.
It's tough though. It's tough doing the working mom thing even with one. And then you always say, well, you'll figure it out. You'll make it work. But to counterpoint you're saying that the kids come and they change you and they screw up all your plans, which is ironic because you plan for kids and we, especially as women.
See, that's one of my kids calling right now. They're killing my plans. You see that?
Yes.
They're like, oh, he's on this podcast. He's doing it now. I'm going to call in and screw it up and I'll change the plans. That's them calling. That's totally them.
That was perfect timing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So you plan for the kids. And then they come whenever they're ready. That's what I had. That was a lesson I had to learn in my life. I thought in my 20s, I'll be having two boys and a girl. And, you know, the children come when they're ready. That's part of it, too. But one of my girlfriends gave me great advice. And she said, you know, we had our daughter. Her daughter's named Vivian. And she said, when Vivian arrived, we thought, you chose us. You came to live with us. So you're going to do things how we do things. And you're going to go along with us to the things that we like to do. So we kind of employ that where we still go and do the fun stuff we used to do and we bring the baby along and we don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, you have to, everything is up in the air. It's a deck of cards you just threw up in the air.
Yeah, you have to adjust, you know, so my wife and I, we have a goal and we're really actually really good at sticking with it. Like, so we have to go out and consume alcohol, not necessarily a lot, but we have to go get drinks once a week alone, just her and I together, right? So we have to.
That's good.
And I bet we are 99%, like once a week, at least once a week. Yeah, 99%. Like
we stick to it.
We don't miss it because, well, I'm trying to imagine what would happen if we did miss it. It wouldn't be good. So it's just that time to get out of the house. And look, she does a lot more, obviously, the parenting that I do. And, and I think she's amazing. I couldn't do it. And I realize that. And I think that's a lot too.
She stays home with the kids. But I mean, it sounds so trivializing to say stay home because that is such a huge endeavor.
Well, it's
when, and it's a not it's nonstop.
It's when people the question that gets awkward is when they're like, "Does your wife work?" And I'm like, "All right, yes. So you're looking for a yes or no." Uh-huh. But I know what you're looking like you're looking for. Does she have like this career where she goes and works at somebody else's company? But the reality is that she works harder than doing what she does if she did that. So it is tough. But you got to find your time and you know. You kind of got to prime yourself a little bit. So.
I seriously thought about quitting my job after I had the baby that first month or two. And I had conversations with people in this building and I was like, I just don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
It's hard. And especially that was the breastfeeding time and the getting up in the middle of the night, not sleeping at all. And I'm glad I didn't for a lot of reasons. But I realized that this is a break for me in some regards.
Yeah.
And so we have that little,
I'm away from the
baby. Yep. Okay, I come home. I appreciate her more. And it kills me that I can't wake up with her every day. But it's one of those sacrifices. And I enjoy my Saturdays and Sundays that much more. So it is very difficult to be stay at home. Very hard.
I think too, I don't know. I've always worked, so I don't have any experience. But I think too, if you were to do that because you were a career focused person before you had a child, right? You have a very successful career. So you obviously had to work
some
at
days.
It and put, well, that's the idea. That's the goal, right? So I think if you just were to give that up, maybe it would be like, wow, I am kind of missing that, that component. Cause the one thing I don't believe in is, at least it hasn't been true for me, is kids come and then all of a sudden your mindset is totally 100% kids.
Right.
Cause I don't know how that would work. I don't know how you change that. Cause DNA is so important. You know, when you focus on something and you want to be successful in your career, you got to have a balance.
Right.
And so to just tip the seesaw up and say, forget career, forget responsibilities. You know what I mean? I think that would be really tough. I know some people have done it. It wouldn't be for me. And I don't know that it's for a lot of, I don't know that it's for like competitive people.
Right. Well, I kind of think about some of my girlfriends who don't have children and they're career women. And oddly, at this point, I feel very maternal, but sometimes I'm like, okay, those are my girls. Those are my people. Because I waited too long to become a mother, and it's in my DNA to work.
Yeah.
It's in my DNA to come to compete and be creative and do something every day. So, not to minimize the stay-at-home role, but I think I just got into it too late, that's part of me now.
Yeah. Like, I feel like my wife wants to work. She's a hairstylist, and she's owned salons.
So she has creativity in her personality, and she can probably do so many of those fun things with the kids, too.
Yeah, and so she's really into that. But then you get five, and it's almost like in the age span, like I said, so, you know, we have, you know, 11 month to 11 years. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like,
Right. I know.
What is that like? Sometimes my answers to these questions are just, you know, or I start making animal noises. Like, what's your house like? I'm like, you know, it's a farm. It's zoo animals. It's, I don't know what it is.
I mean, just when you master a certain age or stage, then they're on to the next one, which is good for you guys. Cause you're like, oh, we've done this. We passed this class. And now we have another one who we have to take care of at this age. But how do you juggle it all in your head and keep track of everything? It is insane. It's just animal noises.
It goes back to don't make too many plans. Mm-hmm. Don't make too many plans, because at the end of the day, what your idea of how this is going to go, it's not going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So,
okay. But Mark, you are making some plans because you're going to take a family trip.
Yeah, so next week.
And I hope you and your wife have carved out nights during that trip to just drink, just the two of you.
Yeah, well, we'll figure that. We're pretty good at figuring that out. But yeah, so this is the anxiety you get when you have five kids, right? And when you take like a road trip. So next week we're doing this road trip, 9-10 hours in the car, five kids. We're taking our dog, who's one of our kids.
Right.
I'm such an animal lover. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know. So I'm thinking to myself, how's this going to go? Because we sort of got this baby, and then we've got this 11-year-old, and we got three in between, and a dog. And like, what do you take? How do you prepare? Literally, I am planning. I am doing more prepping for a road trip than I did for Hurricane Irma. Okay.
No doubt.
Because it's like, I'm like 9 hours in a small confined space, right? Like, I could lose it right there. I could lose it. It's funny because I was talking about this a little bit on my radio show this morning, and it was to hear people call in, and you get things from like, take duct tape, you know, and I'm like, duct tape for what? Like me or the kids?
Right.
Because the kids, I get, it's a little
and
cruel.
And what are we going to do with the duct tape?
It's cruel to tape their mouth. I couldn't do that. But then I'm like, maybe I could use the duct tape, because I probably don't want to say some of the things I'm thinking as we're going down, you know, we're going up 275 or whatever. And it's just like people
save your own mouth.
Right. So,
well, I have a plan for you. I know we're not supposed to make plans.
Right. You're breaking my rule.
I'm breaking my rule. But I was like, I just thought of this great idea. I didn't Google it. I just made it up.
Okay.
So tell me if you like it. So give each of the kids a job like you guys are a travel company. And so one of them is the travel guide, is the tour guide. So actually doing the service. And then maybe you have a secretary. Maybe you have a CEO. Maybe you have, you know, at whatever position.
So form a company.
Form a company.
And then, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, go ahead and do the whole S Corp thing. I know you have time to do that.
Yeah.
Get some business cards made for everybody.
That'd be good.
Have this company, and then have them all in the car, and they're all responsible for
this.
They
have responsibilities.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I sort of like that. I mean, it's creative. It's out of the box, you know. Probably
that'll keep them entertained for about 15 minutes.
That's 15 minutes, and then we can get to the alphabet game. You played that when you were a little car ride, right?
And the license plate game.
Yeah, you just look for a letter, and then you get to X, and the whole game falls apart. And, you know,
I didn't even know people did the alphabet game still, because I thought everybody's just staring at their phones in the car.
Yeah, it may not be cool anymore. I try to keep my kids off of that stuff as much as I can. Like, there's no way they're going to do that for 9 hours.
Right.
Not my kids. That's too much. Yeah, I do get anxiety though about the road trips and stuff. But I will say that if you ask your kids before you go on a road trip, like, what's the one thing they want, and you know, you're gonna hear iPad and stuff like that. But my one daughter, Austin, She's six. God, I can't keep track. She's six, right? Yeah.
Her, it's true. You really can't.
Her older sister is seven and her younger brother's
birthday,
five.
Favorite color. No.
Oh my gosh. birthday.
You don't have to.
October 14th. Favorite color.
We'll edit it in later. Yeah. Yes.
No, it's fine. But her big request is Pirate's Booty popcorn. Have you seen it in the stores? Yeah, the Pirate's Booty popcorn.
Yeah, delicious.
No, it's good. It's good. But that's like, and it's so funny. It's like, because even though kids, it gets complicated sometimes. So you remember, it's still simple, like Pirate's Booty popcorn and stuff. But then you look at the fiber content of that and you're like, eh, maybe not for a long car ride for the kids. So steer away from that. But yeah, it's just, I do have anxiety about the long road trips. But ironically enough, not as much anxiety as I have about airports and airplanes with kids, even though that would be such a shorter, you know, ride. That process to me seems more exhausting.
The airport.
And I could be totally misguided saying that.
Well,
but
I've got two airport things that you need to know. Number one, if you ever have to fly by yourself, because Doug had to fly with a baby by himself to Charlotte.
He did that? See,
yes.
I've never done that.
Yes.
Okay. I want Doug's autograph.
Well,
because I am petrified of ever having to do that.
He's very braggy and he's very proud, but he's the first to tell you, not that big of a deal. Here's why. When people see a dad traveling with a baby or traveling with a youngster, they all, he goes, I've never experienced this feeling in my life. He's like, it's kind of like what women must experience when people are opening doors for you. And, oh, can I help you with that? It's people go over the top when they see a dad with a baby. They're like, oh my gosh, we need to do something to help you.
It's good to know. And I give Doug credit. He's like a good guy. I would have made up so many stories like about how just awful it was and how, you know.
I know.
I would have been like, yeah, I was on the plane. I was holding my baby. But then there was this mom with three kids and I had to hold them too because I just would have made it seem so much worse. So he's a good guy.
He was very tired of my family going, are you sure you can do this? Are you sure you can do this? He's calling me going, Roxanne, she's my daughter. I take her places.
Yeah.
We can do this. We got it.
So Doug has done that and he did an awesome job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And were you like impressed?
Very impressed.
So
and nervous.
So you doubted him a little bit in the beginning.
It's
okay.
There's not a lot I doubt him on. There's not a lot I double check him on. We're pretty good like
What's
that.
What's the one thing like he doesn't do great at being a dad?
Gosh, he really is a great dad. I mean, the one thing that I get that we can always do better is our phones. Always, always, always.
Like on the phones too much?
Yes.
Okay.
So for me, I've put some pretty strong restrictions on myself. So when I come home, I put my phone away. And people get annoyed because they can't get a hold of me, but I tell everybody in my family, if you need to get a hold of me, call me.
Mm.
The ringer's on, text messages are off. The phone's in the other room, so it doesn't distract me. But he still has to do business and has to do things all throughout the day.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, have you been paying attention to her? Or, you know, when she's in daddy daycare, which that happens, we have some overlap, and I'm afraid that he's on his phone too much. But having said that, he's got to make a living too. So there has to be a balance. But there are studies that show the more you're on your phone, the more your child is less inclined. They're going to have, toddlers especially, they have bad behavior when mom and dad are not paying attention to them and paying attention to the phone.
Hey, I think that's a real thing. Probably 5 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, give me a break. But I think it's a real thing now. I just read something a couple days ago, and they're actually diagnosing this as an official, like screen, an addiction to screens and stuff like that.
Right.
And especially with the video games and the content of a lot of these games, which I think is scary.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's scary. And I do. If I didn't have kids, I promise you this is something I would laugh off. I'd be like, give me a break.
Right.
Video game, stop it. But now that I have kids, and I think, too, the thing is, this is kind of, I hate that it's a reality, but I think watching some of the stuff that my kids' friends do based on the video games has caused me concern.
Oh, I bet.
It's made me worry. Honestly, to see what they're doing and then to see their reactions, I'm going, yeah. See, that's why, and
it's that dopamine rush that they're getting when they're playing their games and they're getting the screen time fulfillment.
Yeah, right. And so if you believe in that, you're kind of a product of your environment. And so I kind of believe that if you hang out with really successful, great people, then it's not that you'll become successful and great. It's just you'll have a better shot at it. Right.
You have a benchmark that's higher than other people.
Right. And I think a lot of people believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you hang out with, you know, other certain kinds of people that aren't so great, you might have a predisposition to go down that road, too. So then you almost have to believe that the exposure to, let's say, violent video games could also send you down that road, or at least be a cause or a root cause for some behavioral problems. And I'm going, yeah, I think that's a real thing.
Well, you have to look at the other side, too. Is playing a violent video game going to make you a peaceful person? No. So
I'm trying to find a way to counteract it, and I can't. You're right. Like, I'm sitting there going,
so
like,
if you're trying to achieve one thing, that's definitely, we don't know if it's going to make you a violent person, but it's definitely not going to help you become a peaceful, centered person.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Gosh, so, you see, this is so many things to think about being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
I was all nice and relaxed, and now I'm stressed because we brought it up. No, but it's true. You have to think about this stuff, mm-hmm. and you have to get into, we'll do this on the next one.
Okay.
But my 11-year-old just had his first sleepover last night.
Oh.
So I was.
That's a whole nother thing to analyze. Yes.
Oh, my sleep last night?
Right.
Awful.
Because you don't know what's going on in the house.
I don't know what's going on, but I know what was going on when I was doing that, mm-hmm. sleepovers,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I know.
And I'm going, yeah. That's funny. That this is like the wild roller coaster ride. It's like you start having a conversation. You're like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's crazy. It's chaotic. And I kind of love the chaos because I'm a big fan of unpredictability. Mm-hmm. I love not really knowing because I think it's fun. I think it's the spice of life, you know? But then when it's about the kids, then I start getting like, oh, but I really want to make sure that they're protected and I'll do anything. You know, it's like I want to live this unpredictable, wild, crazy life, mm-hmm. but I want them to live like this more like controlled environment so that they're safe.
Of course.
But again, it goes back to you can't really make all those plans.
Mm-mm.
You know
Mm-mm.
what I mean?
No. I want to talk more about the sleepover dilemma and two things when it comes to technology before I forget. Number one, their screen time that your child is involving themselves in and their screen time that you're involving yourself in, which you're taking away from your child. And I feel so strongly, I didn't grow up with a mom who I said, Mom, look at this. Or, you know, maybe as a toddler, trying to get her attention and have her mid-thought distracted by a beeping phone. I didn't grow up like that. I learned to have focus because I observed you learn that from your parent having focus. So I don't want to rob my daughter of that. So I have real strong, probably hard to stick to sometimes, but that's what I try to do.
How old is she?
13 months.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess, right, if I had to put my money, mm-hmm. you'll cave in on some of the digital devices sooner than you want to.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not all terrible news because
some of it is learning.
Right. And so then that's what you have to control.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I think to say, you know, I'm really not going to allow my kid to have a digital device. It's like,
no, I'm talking for me though.
Oh,
I don't allow.
You.
I don't allow me to be.
I got you. I got you.
Yes.
Well, now you're super responsible. See, now you're at the threshold of most people are like, who is this woman? Like, that's incredible. No, it is good though. It's good self discipline. I mean,
I want her to know,
right?
Like eye contact and yep. human emotion and things like that, because that wasn't taken away from me when I was growing up because my mom was holding the phone.
It's so true. I was somewhere over the weekend and I turned around and there were five kids at a restaurant. And I say kids, I don't know, 18 to 22 years old. All five of them at one point looking down at their phones, they didn't say a word. This went on for like 5 minutes. Do you know how long five
mm-hmm.
minutes is? It's an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they didn't say a word to each other. And I'm thinking, why did y'all come out here together? Like,
exactly.
Like this isn't even an existence. You know what they look like? I call them digital zombies because they're just staring at this screen and the light's reflecting off them.
Oh, and it's not a good look.
No, it's a terrible look.
If you're over 40, don't put a screen in front of your face. It's not good lighting. It's not sexy, you know, TV lighting or
anything.
You thought
about that. Listen,
oh,
look at you.
Uh-huh.
That must be a chick thing because I've never worried about what I look like in the digital light of my screen. No. But now I'll probably go home and check it out and I'll be like, God, I really am ugly in this digital light. But man, it's like, it's not even an existence. But you're right. Children learn from that. And
mm-hmm.
it's, Mm-hmm. Maybe their parents didn't care, or maybe it was just too hard to manage. I mean, I don't know. It's such a day-to-day thing because there's always something out that's new and next. But I don't want to be one of these people that hates technology either.
No,
because
kids to be weirdos.
Right. I mean, and I don't want to raise bitter kids mm-hmm. either. Where
but
it's
I
like,
didn't get to play with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's some great things mm-hmm. iPads do. There's great things that your phones do.
Your family, your Zyborg family or whatever they're called. Zombie family.
Zombie, yeah.
Zombie,
yeah.
Okay.
So, Zyborg would work too. That almost sounds scarier, actually.
So we used to always have this debate before we had the baby. And we say, well, you know, they look weird. They're not interacting, but they're not bothering us and the kids are behaved well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, oh, there's pluses and minuses. But now that we're parents, we're like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And then I think too, there's got to be a difference of when you have one
mm-hmm.
because... You know, let's be honest. If you're not paying attention to them, then nobody is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you guys have a dog or anything?
We have two cats, but
okay.
No, I mean, cats
well,
are
cats,
social.
They
know?
Would rather not be with you, right?
yeah.
Isn't that kind of how they are?
They're snooty,
right? And so it is.
They're aloof.
I think it's a little different, you know, when And if you guys decide to have another one, then I think you'll see the difference, because then there'll be that entertainment amongst, you know, the villagers, as I say. The villagers are entertaining themselves. But until then, it's a little more kind of like, well, you have to, because there's, you
I know.
Yeah, it's a little different. And then there's the times where your parents and you go, well, you guys please go play with each other because you're driving us crazy.
Right.
You know, so you almost depend on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
It's chaos.
You can't, Mark, you can't. I mean, it's amazing. You can get the one sleepover with the 11-year-old.
Yeah.
But you can't, you'll never be able to time it out where they're all, No.
I didn't tell you this, but this podcast, we're going to do another 8 hours today, so I don't have to go home until until dinner and they're about to go to bed. That's my whole reasoning for doing this. So just see.
We'll do it again then.
No, yeah. We'll just keep going.
Okay,
we may break the record for the longest podcast, and it's all because I'm scared to go home to see what's going on in my house right now.
You got to go.
Scared, I mean, I love you all at home. So, you know, yeah. Are we good? Is it
26 minutes.
Is it? See, that's what I love about podcasts.
I know.
No, it's good. We're just keep all this in there. Uh-huh. I don't want to edit it, because like we'll just riff and go, and it's fun and it's so unstructured and honest and everything. But I think it's great because, you know, we need this break from our terrestrial radio lives where it's just, you know, follow these rules.
Right.
But
free flowing.
Thank you again for putting all. I mean, it's a great idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like, just getting some parents together and
And we got, the cool thing is too is. I think people don't realize we work at this radio station, so they just listen to you on QYK. I'm on another radio station, Q105, and we have all these fun people in the building, and we're all friends.
Well, that's the thing.
So we can bring Meredith from Wild in.
It's the same. Like, there's so much content going on in this building. Of the hallways here are sometimes more entertaining than what I shouldn't say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the boss is like, take that part out right now. But the hallways are sometimes, just as entertaining.
Just
as what's going
on,
you know, and I'm thinking, but so you had a great idea, and I'll just, you know, I want to make sure you get the credit.
Oh,
you had a fantastic idea.
You.
So good stuff.
You're half this. So
I'm just, listen, I don't want to go home. So this is what I'm here. But all right. So look, so maybe next week we'll have a name.
Okay.
That's
our goal.
Let's start small though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's not put too much on ourselves.
No.
We'll have a name and we'll go from there.
Okay. I like it.
Awesome.
And we'll reconvene then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.